Hello and welcome to the podcast for Christ Community Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. This is a message given on Sunday morning, February 23rd, 2020 by Tom Job from John chapter 5.
I wanted to read to you guys, just we've been thinking for the last while about the miracles that Jesus did and what we're supposed to learn from them. This comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 5. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem to one of the Jewish festivals. There was in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. And here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. And one who had been there and had been an invalid for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been there in that condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" And the invalid replied, "Sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. And when I am trying to get in, someone else goes ahead of me." And Jesus said, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." And at once the man was cured, and he picked up his mat and he walked. Lord, help us to understand this and help us to understand ourselves. Just like Eric told us, may this story, as we enter into it, become our story. In your precious name, amen. So there's I'm kind of praying. This is really weird, but I'm kind of praying to win a certain lottery. It's so ridiculous, but well, it's not, there's a lottery. I want to run in the Marine Corps Marathon in October, and you enter in March and they have a lottery because there's so many people that want to get in it. And I want to get in it because I just want to do it because I've only been to Washington, D.C. one time, but I love it. I mean, you see the real stuff, like real historical stuff and real historical places. And it's we went up there with Mary and Ben and Henry and Maggie, and they let me have one day that was like Abraham Lincoln Geek Out Day. And so Tina and I went to Ford's Theater. Like, you have to get tickets. We went about 9 o'clock in the morning. And there was a bunch of field trips kids. And they were all joking around. And I was thinking in my heart, this isn't funny. Like, this is serious. And then the park ranger who was giving the talk, she was making jokes. And I'm like, no, too soon. Don't be joking about this, but I went to his church, New York Avenue Presbyterian Church, where I believe Abraham Lincoln really came to know Jesus in a personal way in the later part of his life. But he used to go to church there every time he was in Washington. He used to go on Wednesday night to prayer meeting, and I knocked on doors until somebody opened a door for me, and then one of the ladies that worked there in the office, I said, "Can I see where?" Because they redid all the pews, but they kept his pew. And I said, "Can I see it?" And she told me where to go upstairs and go sit in it. And I did. And I sat in his seat. I may have left a tear or two in it and then went back down. And she said, and I asked her a lot of questions. And I said, "Are there people, like a lot of Lincoln geeky people like me?" And she said, "Not a lot, but some." And then she said, "Do you want to see his pastor's office?" His pastor was a man named Phineas C. Gurley, who was a godly person. And she said, "Let's go." And I was like, "Okay." And we went to Phineas Gurley's office and his pastor's study. And she said, "There's the couch that they used to sit on together and talk about theological things. Sit on it." And I did. I did. I may have left a tear or two on that couch also. But it's just to be, you know, in places like that where the people really were. We went to the Museum of American History. And at a certain point, Henry said, "Pop, there it is." And I turned around. And there was like the stovepipe hat that he was wearing when he went to Ford's Theater. There's a black band around it because he was still in mourning after 3 years for his son, Willie, who died on February 20th. The anniversary of his funeral is tomorrow in 1862. And, wow. But anyway, so people had always read about the Pool of Bethesda, and they said it had five colonnades, like five rows of columns. And how could it? I mean, a pool doesn't have five sides to it. And some people thought this must have been written by people who were never there, but in 1964, they had discovered this pool by the Church of St. Anne's near the Temple Mount, and they confirmed in 1964, after they did all the excavations, that it was the actual pool of Bethesda, and that there were actually two rectangular pools, and in between them, there was an extra row of columns. And that's why it said that it had five colonnades. And you could see exactly where Jesus walked, like down along the sides. There's not really a bunch of places where you can be absolutely sure that this is where he walked. And there would be all these people who had disabilities, and people would carry them there every day. And they would beg mostly for money. And Jesus went into that pool and walked along the sidewalk. And he passed people who had disabilities, and they probably looked to him. And he went straight to one person who had been there for 38 years. And Jesus looked down at him. And he what Bartimaeus, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus said, "This is what I want." But Jesus looked at this person and said, "Do you want to be healed?" And it's like, what? What kind of question is that? There was a woman that I just, I have always loved her books. And her name was Johnny Erickson Tada. And when she was 17, when was that? 1976. She's 70 now. She had accepted Jesus at a Young Life camp the summer before. And when she was 18, she dove off a dock in the Chesapeake Bay and hit something underwater. And it caused her to have a spinal cord injury. And she became immediately a quadriplegic. And she wound up being a person who wrote a million. She's a brilliant theologian and author and a counselor to presidents. She's written 30 books and has a worldwide ministry to people with disabilities and a professor of theology at different seminaries on the theology of suffering. She's amazing. But in those early weeks, she was super, when it became evident that she was going to be a quadriplegic and she was so discouraged and so depressed and wondering if it was possible that she might be healed. And she got so discouraged, her friends and her leader, Young Life leaders, would come and visit her and say, "Do you want me to read something out of the scriptures to you?" And she said, "Could you read John 5 for me?" And they'd kind of tense up. And they'd a little bit roll their eyes because they knew as they read this story and as Jesus walked to ask a question to someone who there seemed to be some question whether he wanted to be healed. And she imagined herself being there saying, "Here I am, Jesus. I want to be. Don't pass me by. I want to be healed. Could you heal me?" And they knew that that's what she was doing to herself. And she said when they would leave, she would sing a hymn to herself in her hospital bed that she learned as a kid. "Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry while on others. Thou art calling, don't pass me by." And you just wonder, like, why would he ask that question? I mean, do you want to be healed? Is there any question about it? Except that it had been a long time. And sometimes when people's hopes get quenched and they can't really afford to hope anymore, that my life is going to be anything other than this, what they have to do is they have to squish their heart into the space of the state of things. This is how it's going to be. And I need to get used to it. I need to get used to people carrying me places. Every day, and I need to get used to begging for money. And maybe I need to get used to a little bit of self-pity, because it kind of is a self-comfort to me. And I've had to make accommodations for the life that I've got now. I had a friend one time in the Anderson County Jail. He was the sweetest guy, loved Jesus. He was a brilliant artist. He was just a sunbeam. He was about 4'11", and just this, one of the sweetest guys I knew. And he told me one time, he said, he was about 38. He said, "I've been in jail and prison since I was 17. When I'm in prison and jail, I do awesome. I know how to do it. When I get out, I don't do so well. The last time I was arrested, you might have seen it on the news. As they say, shots were fired." But he said, "This is actually the only profession I've ever been trained in, is being an inmate. And so he made accommodations. I got to get used to this life." And when Jesus asked him, "Do you want to be healed?" It's like, does that mean I'm going to have to abandon my accommodations? People aren't going to carry me around anymore. No. Does that mean I can't comfort myself with self-pity anymore? No. Maybe I need to think about it. I think that it's kind of evident that Jesus could heal anybody at any time today. I don't think he always does. I don't think he usually does. I think that everybody in the New Testament who was ever healed of anything, one thing they have in common is they all died of something else. I think that the scriptures say our outward person is falling apart, which if it is, it's just a promise of God that it's going to. But he's focused on the inner person. And I do think that there are wonders, there are wonderful things that Jesus would give to people who know and believe in him. He would give to anyone if they wanted. But a question he might ask is, do you want to be healed? The word healed, when Jesus asked that man, that is a word that means healthy. Do you want to be healthy? It's a word that sometimes, a couple of times, is translated normal. Do you want to be normal? What a normal believer in Jesus should be. So like here's, well, I don't know. I've made accommodations to the life I've been living. Does that mean I would have to give them up? Yes, it would. So like one gift I think that Jesus offers to whoever believes in him is it's not so much the gift of the forgiveness of sins, because whether you know it or not, if you believe in Jesus, you've got that. Jesus said one time, he said, "He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, will not come into judgment, but has already passed from death unto life." And there, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So I have all my, more than my sins being forgiven me, in the moment I believe in Jesus, everything I've ever done, do, or will do is forgiven. His righteousness is given to me. I'm righteous in the sight of God, whether I know it or not. But one time Jesus, he was talking about a gift, and he said to one person, "Take heart, your sins are forgiven." That word "take heart" is a verb that's used 7 times in the New Testament, once by an angel to the Apostle Paul in a shipwreck, but all the other times by Jesus to people. And it's a Greek word that means to have a warm feeling inside of you, a warm confidence, a warm boldness. I think it's the gift of the enjoyment of having your sins forgiven. Like, I not only am I forgiven of everything I've ever done, do, or will do, I'm super thankful for that, because I've done, thought, and said a million things that are bad. And if they're gone, I'm super, super thankful. The people who have that just as a baseline gratitude for the fact that their sins are forgiven them, they have an energy, they have an enthusiasm, they have a lightness of heart, they have a warm confidence and even a boldness. They feel good about who they are. I've just been thinking about him lately, the person who mentored me. He was a lay pastor named Pastor Stuckian. Well, he was the most enthusiastic, lighthearted, warm, sweet. He was like a cinnamon bun coming out of the oven. He was warm and sweet and just delicious. And what, he used to have red pajamas by his door in the package that he bought them in, and he was going to be buried in them. They were red for the blood of Jesus. And every time he came in or out of his house, he would touch them and remember, the day I wear these pajamas, I will be with my Savior. And he was just, and I always wondered why he was so enthusiastic and lighthearted and had that warm confidence. And it was because he was one of the few people I've ever met who truly believed he was forgiven of all of his sins. And he couldn't get over it. And I want that. I want that warm confidence and that lightness of heart and that enthusiasm, that a heart full of gratitude comes, but I've made some accommodations. I haven't really felt so good about myself. One thing I've done as an accommodation is I've learned how to judge people, and I criticize people all the time. It's what I do to make me feel better about myself. Well, if you want a warm heart of gratitude for your sins forgiven, you would have to give that up. Yeah, but I've gotten good at it. And I'm almost always right, I think. And if I don't do it, who's going to do it? And Jesus would ask me, but do you want to be healthy? Do you want to be normal? You know, another gift I think that Jesus offers, he said, I say these things that my joy might be in you and your joy may be full. I think he offers us a gift of joy. If I believe in Jesus, I should be the most joyful person in all the world. Like God, not only are my sins forgiven, Almighty God the Father has become Almighty God my daddy. And he loves me, and he takes care of every need that I would have. He's working out a plan for me. Jesus said he would never leave me, and I'm going to heaven. What do I not have to be super, super joyful about? Yeah, but you know, I've not felt that way for a while. So I've had to make some accommodations. Oh, really? Yeah, what do? I complain all the time. I complain a lot about kind of everything. It's how I cope with the way things are. Would I have to give that up? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you don't really have the right to complain about anything. You should be alone in the dark forever. If heaven is our eternal home, you deserve to be eternally homeless. But you're not going to be, because Jesus has loved you and given you a gift. You should never, ever complain about anything. Yeah, but I'm kind of good at it. And I'm usually right, I feel like. And who's going to do it if I don't? And he asked me, but do you want to be healthy? I think about Jesus said, my peace I give you, not as the world gives. Give I unto you. I could have a heart. He promises you and me a heart of peace. I don't ever have to be afraid again. I don't have to be anxious. He said, you don't have to. In fact, I encourage you, do not think about tomorrow. Just think about today. I'll take care of tomorrow. Yeah, but I kind of need a little bit of control about what's going to happen tomorrow and what's going to happen in the future. And anxiety gives me that. It kind of makes me feel more responsible. It's my contribution to the overall effort. And 9 out of 10 things that I worry about never happen, so it must be working. And Jesus is like, that thing about control, Do you want to be unafraid, to live through this day unafraid of anything and live only in today and give no thought for tomorrow? Do I have to give up criticism and complaining and control? It just depends. Do you want to be healthy? Do you want a heart of gratitude? Do you want a heart of joy? Do you want a heart of peace? Do you want to be healthy? you know, Johnny Erickson taught us. She's 70. It's hard to believe that. She and her husband, Ken, they went to Jerusalem a few years ago. And she said, we went down in the wheelchair down the Via Dolorosa. And she said, when we got to the Temple Mount, we turned left. And we went to the church at St. Anne's, and we went right past it. And she said, and I saw it. I saw the Pool of Bethesda. And I just stared at it. And Ken went to see if there was any water in it. And I thought about all the times I used to fantasize about being at that pool and asking Jesus not to pass by and feeling like he had. And she said, my tears flowed down my face and I thanked him for saying no to me. Because she said, in saying no, I have had to be more dependent on him. And he has taught me to get rid of all complaining and to live a life of praise and worship and trust. And she said he had given me so as I leaned into the no answer. And she said he changed me in ways that I could have never been changed. And I have a heart of gratitude, and I have a heart of peace, and I have a heart of joy that I never would have had walking.